Turning your Bibles to Acts 13, we're continuing, of course, our study of the book of Acts, and we're seeing the history of the first century church, and Luke shows us the spread of the message, how Jesus died and rose again, and then the message begins in Jerusalem and goes through Israel and then through the rest of the world. And if you remember, the book of Acts breaks down to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that's sort of the outline. The book of Acts, chapters 1 through 7 is the spread of the message in Jerusalem, and 8 through 12 is Judea and Samaria, and now we're in chapters 13 through 28 as the message goes to the end of the earth. And that's this morning, this is what we're seeing. We're seeing opposition to the message of Jesus Christ. Paul and Barnabas go into a city called Antioch Pisidia, that's in modern-day Turkey. We'll show you a map in just a little bit. And they are opposed by the Jews, and later by the Gentiles, and they seek to proclaim the good news message. And we find as a whole that as we look, as we go through the book of Acts, we're going to find this, that as a whole, that the Jews reject the message and the Gentiles accept the message. And the whole issue is the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Because salvation is by grace through faith in Christ. Jewish people, most of them at that time, they kept looking at the law and kept looking at the law. For the Gentiles, they had many gods. And when they came to understand the true God in Jesus Christ in grace. And so we see that as he goes through the synagogues and as he goes through this part of the world, the Jews as a whole seem to reject the message, while the Gentiles as a whole accept the message and the truth about Christ. And the truth is this, when you go into this world, when you go into our community, there are going to be people who will believe. You share your message, share the message of Jesus Christ, the grace message. There'll be people who believe, and there'll be people who don't believe. As we begin, let me raise some questions for you to think about. First of all, what did Paul do when the Jews rejected the message? Second, how did the Gentiles respond to this message? And third, who persecuted Paul and Barnabas? So there's a lot as we go through the passage. So let's think about it. If you remember back when Paul trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, that was back in Acts chapter 9. He was on the road to Damascus, and God gave him some instructions. And here's what they were, and they're really two things. What were the instructions that God gave to Paul? Here they are, two things. One, he would send him to the Gentiles to turn them from darkness to light. In other words, Paul was going to be the apostle to the Gentiles, and that he would receive opposition from both Jews and Gentiles, but God would deliver him. And so he knew that. In fact, he said you're not only called to believe in Jesus Christ, but to suffer for his sake. And so as Paul begins this mission to go into the world, he knows that there are going to be Jews opposed to him, there are going to be Gentiles opposed to him, but as a whole, he goes to the Jew first, but it's going to be the Gentiles who's going to get the message and going to believe. And that's an amazing thing. We see that when we go with the message of grace, and we're talking about the grace message of salvation, there are going to be people who will be opposed to it. And Jesus said this, if they hated me, they'll hate you. If they rejected me, they will reject you. And the truth is this, when you go into this community and you tell someone about Jesus Christ and they reject it and reject you, they're really not rejecting you. They're rejecting Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:29, we're called not only to believe, but to suffer for his name's sake. Now, in our country, we don't suffer very much for the sake of Jesus Christ, but in some places, people do. Well, today we're going to see the opposition. When the Gentiles receive the word, they receive it with joy, but the Jews get jealous and drive them out. Let me give you an outline of just the passage this morning. I've got it going all the way back to 32. We'll actually start about 38. But in Antioch Pisidia, that's where they go. They proclaim the good news, the people's reaction to the good news, and they get expelled to go to Iconium because of the persecution. But you see, there is joy of those who believe in Jesus Christ. Let me show you the map of where we are. If you remember that Paul and Barnabas and all, Barnabas had been in Jerusalem. Paul had been in Tarsus. Barnabas went up to a place called Antioch where a lot of people were trusting in Christ. It was the third largest city in the Roman Empire. And so great ministry started. He went and got Paul, or we call him Paul now. He was called Saul then. He went over to Antioch and they stayed there for a year teaching people. And then the Holy Spirit set Paul and Barnabas apart. Another guy with them named John Mark left. They went down to Seleucia, got on a boat, went to Salamis, which is Cyprus. They went there, went across the island, went to a guy named Sergio Paulus, who was the proconsul of the island. He trusted in Jesus Christ. There was a guy named Bar-Jesus there who was a false Jewish prophet. Paul had to confront him. After that, they left and went to Perga. They went to what is modern-day Turkey. This region was called Galatia. And in the Bible, when you read the book Galatians, this is the people that Paul wrote when you read the book Galatians. They left Perga, and John Mark, who was with them, left right then and went back to Jerusalem. No reason is given for him leaving. We're going to see later on that Paul thinks he didn't have a good reason to leave, and we'll talk about it later. But they go into what is known as Pamphylia and Pisidia, and they go to a city called Antioch. It's the same name. This is called Antioch of Pisidia. This is called Antioch of Syria. And they go to this city. It's also a Roman city. And in that city, there were synagogues. And they go into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and they go in there to speak. And we talked about it, that when they go into the synagogues, that it was like a church service. We base our church service basically off the order of synagogues. They would come in and they would read scripture and they would sing some songs. Somebody would read some things and then somebody would teach. But a lot of times if there was a visitor, they might let the visitor speak. And so when Paul and Barnabas went in to that synagogue, they saw them and they said, "Would anybody like to speak?" And Paul stood up and said, "I'm glad you asked." And he began to speak. And what he did, and I've got you the outline, he basically gave the history of the nation of Israel, not the history of the nation of David, but the history of the nation of Israel up to the time of David. And then he showed about David and the Messiah. And he said that Jesus Christ was the descendant of David as the Messiah. He gave the good news of the death and resurrection of Christ. And he offered forgiveness of sin simply by faith. That's what he did. He stood in front of that. And we read that all last week. It was a long passage. I read it as quickly as I could because it was a long part. But Paul basically said, Jesus Christ came from David. David was promised the Messiah would come through him. Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah. Whoever believes in him has the forgiveness of sins and eternal life salvation. That's what we saw last time. And so what we're going to see is when the message is proclaimed, there will be people who believe, there'll be people who will not believe. We cannot get upset. We have the responsibility to proclaim the salvation message to everyone. Some will believe, some will not believe. It's always that way. Look back at verse 38. Here we see Paul offering the message of salvation. Look what he says. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through him, now he's talking about Jesus, through him, Jesus, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Now, through Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness. I want you to understand that salvation, and we've talked about this over and over, salvation is in the person of Christ. Salvation is not in a church. Salvation is not in some kind of doctrine. Salvation is in Jesus Christ. We trust in Christ for eternal life. And he said, be it known to you, brethren, that through him, through Jesus, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed. And he announced that people could be forgiven. See, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Jesus has paid for all sin, but people need forgiveness of sin. And whenever you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, you receive forgiveness of sins. And that's what he says. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through him, through him, through Jesus, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed. Jesus is the one who gives forgiveness. It's in the person of Christ. Now, how? He goes on to say in the next verse, and through him, everyone who believes is freed from all things from which you could not be freed through the law of Moses. Now, he says forgiveness of sins comes by faith in Jesus Christ. It's always by faith. He's the way, the truth, and the life. It's through Jesus Christ. Everyone who believes in him, it's always by faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith. God so loved the world he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes. Over and over. We talked about it last week. Now let me show you something. I didn't go into the details on this last week, but I want you to see this. It says, and through him everyone who believes is freed from all things which you could not be freed through the law of Moses. Now the word freed in our Bible is literally the Greek word for justified. Everyone who believes is justified. That means we're declared right before God. So it really should read and could read, through him, everyone who believes is justified from all things which you could not be justified through the law of Moses. Now, the reason Paul said that, is the Jewish people sitting in that synagogue with those Gentiles who were called proselytes, who were believing in the God of Israel. They all believed that they could be justified, declared right before God by keeping the law. They believed that they were good enough. If somehow they tried to keep the Ten Commandments, if they tried to keep the rituals and all those things, that they could be right before God. Now, we see the same thing today. We go into our community and you talk to people and you say, what do you think a person has to do to go to heaven, to have eternal life? And they'll say, try to keep the Ten Commandments, try to live a good life, do good things, go to church, be a good person. And people have always misunderstood. Salvation is not by what we do. Salvation is a gift. We're not justified by the law. We're justified by faith. He says, and everyone who believes in him is justified from all things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. The law cannot save. The law shows sin. I think I have a couple of verses here. Galatians 2:16 says, no one in a man's not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Do you notice that this is from the book of Galatians? These are the exact people that Paul later writes to and says to them, remember, you're not justified by law, but you're justified by faith in Jesus Christ. He offers justification, eternal life, and forgiveness simply by faith. The same is true for every one of us. If a person puts their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, he is declared righteous, he is given eternal life, and receives the forgiveness of sins. That's why we go into this community with a good news message. We're not going with a bad news message, we're going with a good news message. So, and it's true, and let me say this, if there's anyone in this room that you have never understood that. You've never understood that salvation is a gift. It's not your works or goodness or righteousness. It is simply faith in Jesus Christ who gives you eternal life, forgiveness, and righteousness all by faith. You can trust in Christ right now. Just trust in him and say, I believe that Jesus Christ will give me eternal life, righteousness, and forgiveness. Then he says to them, after he says this, he reminds them. He does not want them to miss it, and so he warns them. Look at verse 40 and 41. This is where we ended last week. He said, therefore take heed so that nothing that the thing spoken of in the prophets may not come to you. And if this was a warning, behold, you scoffers and marvel and perish. I'm accomplishing a work in your days, a work which you will never believe, though someone should describe it to you. The prophet said that when the message came, a lot of people would just miss it. They would just miss it. And he says to them, don't miss the great message of salvation. And there are people that we talk to every day, there are people we see every day, and they are missing the great message of salvation. Jesus Christ died and rose again, and he offers salvation and forgiveness and justification simply by faith alone. Don't miss God's way of salvation. It is in a person, Jesus Christ. He's the way and the truth and the life, and no one goes to the Father except through him. Well, that's what Paul told him. He said, it's faith alone. It's forgiveness of sin. It's you can be justified by faith in Christ, and you could not be justified by the law. And you realize there are Jewish people that were sitting there saying, you're telling me that I can't be good enough to get to God by the law, but when I believe in Jesus as the Messiah and Savior, I'm saved forever. The answer is yes. Yes. And watch what happened. And as Paul and Barnabas were going out, the meeting is over, as they were going out, the people kept begging that these things might be spoken to them on the next Sabbath. People kept coming up to them saying, what are you talking about? You need to come back and make sure we know what you're saying. This is amazing. They kept coming back to them. The word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Always proclaim the truth of the word. Notice it says, and Paul and Barnabas were going out, the people kept begging them these things that they might be spoken to them. The word would be spoken to them the next Sabbath. Now, you know, the Sabbath is on Saturday, so the Jewish people basically meet on Saturday. So they're basically saying, would you come back next week? Would you come back next week and proclaim the same thing? And would you like to speak? And at the end, people say, please, would you come back? Would you come back? And of course, what's Paul going to say? Of course we'll come back. We'll stay here for the whole week. We'll meet with people. We'll talk with people. We'll come back next Sabbath day, and we will proclaim the message again. See, this is Paul's life. Paul's life was to take the message of salvation into the world. And it's primarily to the Gentiles, but he always went to the Jew first. Remember Romans 1:16? Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God and salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So that's what he did. Now watch. And now when the meeting of the synagogue had broken up, many of the Jews and of the God-fearing proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, were urging them to continue in the grace of God. Now, when everything broke up, people were just everywhere, and they were moving out, and as Paul and Barnabas walked out, some of the Jews and some of the proselytes, and remember, there's Jewish people there, and I think some of these people became believers that day, because we're going to see what they said to them. But a proselyte was a Gentile who decided he was going to become a Jew. That's basically what he tried to do. He was going to worship the God of Israel and become a Jew. So that's what a proselyte is. So the Jews and the God-fearing proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, Paul and Barnabas were talking to them, and they were urging them to continue in the grace of God. Continue in the grace of God. See, it's all grace. I think some of these people believed. I think they trusted Christ. I think they said, we believe. And so Paul and Barnabas said, listen, you got to keep on going in the grace now. Understand grace. You're under a law system, but you don't need to be under a law system. You're not saved by the law. You don't even live by the law. You're to live by the grace of God. And I want you to understand something. Salvation is by grace. And we're talking about the eternal life salvation. Ephesians 2:8-9 is, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. But also the Christian life is a walk of grace. It's all by the grace of God. Titus 2:12 talks about living, denying ungodliness and living righteously and godly in this present age. We live that way by the grace of God. And so everything that we do is God's grace as we seek to live for Him. So he says, keep, by the way, we got to keep the emphasis on grace. And there's so many add works to it. And I think that Paul, when he said to them, you got to continue in grace. I talked with the men just recently. We were in one of the Bible studies. We were just talking about this, that a lot of people say the word grace, but they don't really mean grace. See, when we say grace, we mean that it's not one thing you can ever do to save yourself. Jesus Christ has done it all. He paid for sin. He rose again. He gives you eternal life. And he says, you simply trust in him. That's the grace of God. There are other people who will say, well, yeah, it's faith in Christ, but you need to walk down an aisle. You need to give your life to Jesus. You need to turn away from your sins. You need to do this. You need to do this. That's not grace. The grace of God brings salvation by faith alone in Christ alone. So what happened? Now, it's an amazing thing, because we're going to see next week. Verse 44. The next Sabbath, nearly the whole city assembled to hear. Now notice what they assembled to hear? The word of the Lord. The whole assembly, the whole city was coming together. Now this is a pretty good sized city, and so people started going through the city during the week and saying, you need to come back next Sabbath, you need to come, because this guy's saying stuff that we've not really ever heard before, and he's saying it's just faith alone in this man named Jesus to have eternal life, to have forgiveness of sins. And everybody was coming together, and notice, it's for the word of the Lord. They wanted to hear the word of the Lord. When people gather together, when you come on Sunday morning here, it should not be to hear me speak. It should be to hear the word of the Lord. If I do not teach the scripture, don't come. The word of God is what's alive and powerful and sharpened into its sword. The word of God is the key. That's why they taught the word. That's why we're to teach the scripture. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instructions. We're gathered today not for sermons, but for the teaching of the word of God, so you can know the word of the Lord. Well, watch what happened. All these people are coming, and this is an amazing thing, but notice verse 45. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming. Now the Jews saw the crowd. Why were they so jealous? Because see, the Jewish people are God's chosen people. And their responsibility, from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Judah, all the way down, their job was to proclaim the message of salvation found in the Messiah and Savior. and they'd gotten away from it. They had gotten so much into law and works that they were teaching people that you come under the Mosaic law, and somehow if you could keep the law, you could be saved. By the time Jesus came, most people were so confused, they didn't know what in the world to do to have salvation. So when Paul and Barnabas come, and they're both Jews, and they're proclaiming this message, and it's a message about Jesus, and it's a message of grace, the Jews in the synagogue and the Jews in the city say, wait a minute, this makes us mad that all these people are listening to them. They don't need to be listening to them. They need to be listening to us. And so when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy. And what did they do? They began contradicting the things spoken by Paul. And people contradict it. Listen, when we give out the grace message, there'll be those in opposition. Listen, when you tell people that it's faith alone in Christ, you know what people are going to say? That's too easy. That's not right. It's got to be more than that. It can't just be faith in Jesus Christ. There's got to be more to that. There's got to be things you do. They'll say, that's just too easy. That's easy believism. Or that's cheap. That's cheap grace. That's just telling people they can believe in Jesus and be saved. That's exactly right. We're telling people they can believe in Jesus and they can be saved. And you're going to always have opposition to the grace message of salvation. And so look what happened. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy. They began contradicting the things spoken by Paul, and they were blaspheming. They were going after it. They'd say, that's not right. It can't be that easy. It can't just be believing. I've had people say to me, it can't just be faith in Christ. It's got to be more than that. That's too easy. Is salvation hard or easy? It's okay, did it cost us anything? Did it cost God his Son? So from the God side, it's not easy. It's not cheap. God so loved the world, he did what? He gave his Son. Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven, became a person, died on the cross, paid for sin, separated from the Father, died and rose again, seated at the right hand of the Father. That cost everything. But for us, it cost what? Nothing. It is easy in the sense that it is just faith in Christ. That's all it is. Well, the crowds begin to contradict it and blaspheme. So what does Paul do? Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first, since you repudiate it and judge yourself unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we're turning to the Gentiles. So he speaks to the Jews, and let me tell you what Paul does. He's not afraid to tell the truth. He's not afraid to stand boldly. Sometimes in our culture, everybody says, be politically correct and don't say anything that'll hurt people's feelings. Listen, you've got to be able to say to people, Jesus is the only way. Salvation is by faith alone and Christ alone plus nothing. There are no other ways to God. He's the only way. I know the world says there's all kind of ways to God and don't hurt anybody's feelings, and everybody's got their own way and everybody's got their faith way. We tell them the truth. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first. He said, I have to go to the Jewish people first. Romans 1:16, it goes to the Jew first. But since you repudiate it, since you count it as nothing, since you judge it, he says, and you judge yourself unworthy of eternal life. He says, you count yourself unworthy to receive the gift of eternal life. He said, we're turning to the Gentiles. And that is an amazing thing. And this is what we see, the pattern in the early church, that the Jews as a whole seem to reject and the Gentiles accept. And let me just say something to you that you need to understand. And I think the next slide might give a little bit about it. Hold on. We're not going to take the time just because of the time. Romans 9:30 through 33 says this, that when Jesus Christ came, the Jewish people as a whole missed the Messiah, and the Gentile people as a whole believed in the Messiah. In Romans 9:30 through 33, he actually says that the Jews sought to get to God by the works of the law, and the Gentiles sought to get to God by faith in Christ. And he goes on to say in Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11 that the nation of Israel as a whole, has missed the Messiah. God has set them aside for a while, and he's using the church, the Jews and the Gentiles together into one body. One of these days, and we talked about it when we studied the end times, Jesus Christ is going to come and he's going to take the church off the face of the earth. That's us. When he does, He turns back to his people, Israel, and they will go into the tribulation. And what we find, and we did this in our study on Sunday morning on end time events, that during the tribulation, the Jewish people as a nation will turn back to Jesus Christ. They will believe in him as Messiah and Savior. So God is not through with this people, but at this time we're seeing as a whole, Jews reject, Gentiles believe. Now, a lot of Jews individually are believing in Jesus Christ as we go through this, but as a nation, they reject. So Paul says, it was necessary that I tell you the truth because it goes to you first, but since you throw it out, you consider yourself unworthy to get eternal life, so we're now turning to the Gentiles. Don't miss God's plan. He is not through with his people, but he's using the church, the body of Christ today. Watch what he says. Verse 47. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth. He is quoting Isaiah 42:6 and Isaiah 49:6, that there's going to be a light to the Gentiles. I want to read something for you. I don't want you to have to turn there. But this is what Paul says God told him when he set him out to take the message of Jesus Christ. Here's what he said. He said, Paul, stand up. For this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only the things which you have seen, but also the things which I will appear to you, to rescue you from the Jewish people and from Gentiles to whom I'm sending you, that you would open their eyes so that they would turn from darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan to God, that they would receive the forgiveness of sins by faith. That's what God told Paul. Paul is saying the same thing. He said, I've been sent out by God, by Jesus, to tell people, especially the Gentiles, that if they will believe in Christ, they'll have eternal life. I would say that most of us in this room are Gentiles. We're not Jews. I would love to be Jewish, but I'm a Gentile. And by the grace of God, when I heard the message, I trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior. And by the grace of God, when you heard the message, you trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Paul says, I was sent, first of all, to go to the Jews, but my job is to go to the Gentiles. I am a light to the Gentiles. Wow. What happened? When the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing. They were saying, yay, we get the message. They began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many had been appointed to eternal life believed. The Gentiles heard this, and they rejoiced, and they began glorifying God. Now, I want to show you something at the very end of the passage that sometimes people are confused on. It says, as many had been appointed to eternal life believed. That looks strange, and it seems like it's saying it could be one of three things. Let me show you the three things. The first one, it could be that God appoints people to eternal life and makes them believe. We know that's not true. That was not what you see from the scripture. It could be that all who believe God had assigned, because that's what that word means, eternal life. Or it could even mean that these Gentiles that God had planned would have eternal life when they believed. I think the best way to look at the passage is to say that those who believe God had already planned that they would have eternal life. And it's the same for us. He says, the moment you believe, what has he already planned for you? To have eternal life. So I think that's what that passage is saying. Well, watch what happens. And the word of the Lord was spread throughout the whole region. And if you remember, that region was called Perga and Pamphylia and Pisidia. All of a sudden, the message is beginning to spread. People are getting the message, and they're telling people about Jesus Christ. We talked about this before. Wouldn't it be great if because of this body of believers that the word of Jesus Christ was spreading all over this community? We do not assume that everybody in this community knows Jesus Christ. In fact, we assume that many people in our community do not know Jesus Christ as Savior. Not only are there people in our community who have no connection with what they might call religion or church or anything, but there's a whole bunch of people who are connected in churches that have never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. They've been in religion. And so, look what happened. The word of the Lord was being spread throughout the whole region. Well, this looks really good. The message is going out. People are believing. Everybody's excited. What could be better? Well, watch. But, the Jews incited the devout women of prominence and leading men of the city and instigated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. Now, what the Jews did is they went to prominent men and women. See, in that city, there were people who had wealth and money, most of them were Romans, most of them were Gentiles, and they went to those people, and especially the women, because once they got the women upset, then they got the men. Notice it says the women of prominence. Doesn't that happen sometimes? You get the women upset, and then, if mama's not happy, what, nobody's happy? So they got the women of prominence and the leading men, and what did they do? They told them that these people were causing problems, and they needed to get rid of them, and so they instigated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and they ran them out of town. Now, if you know Paul, he doesn't like to get run out anywhere, does he? And he gonna be back. They're not gonna get rid of him. In fact, if you read ahead into chapter 14, you're gonna see what happens when they go a little bit further. But look what he does when they run him out of town. Verse 51. But they shook off the dust of their feet in protest against them, and they went to Iconium. Now, before we show you the map of Iconium, where Iconium is, shaking the dust off your feet was a judgment. It was like saying, listen, when God comes to judge, we don't even want the dust of this town on us. We don't even want to be connected with you in any way. And so what they're saying is, you guys are in trouble. Okay, you're rejecting the message and you're running us away. Well, let's see about Iconium. So they were in Antioch and now they're going to go to Iconium. Now, what we're going to see, and let me just give you a quick preview. They're going to go to Iconium and something amazing is going to happen in Iconium, and they're going to end up going from Iconium to Lystra, and there's going to be amazing things happen there, and they get run out of Lystra and they go to Derbe, and then they come back through these cities. And listen, look how far that is from Paul's hometown. It's about 80 miles is all. He could have gone back this way, but they don't. They're going to go back through every one of these cities before they go back home, and that's what they're going to do, and they're going back there. So we're going to see what happens. They shook the dust off their feet. They went to Iconium, but notice this great truth, and the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, what is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience. This is what comes out of people. When people understand grace, they understand joy. Listen, y'all, there are people that we come in contact with every day and they don't know the grace message. They've never heard it. There are people I've talked to, and there are people you've talked to. There are people in this room who have told me until they found us, that was the first time they ever put together the whole issue of salvation, that it was simply by faith. It was simply by grace. So what have we seen? Paul gives this grace message of salvation. People respond. People want to hear. They come back. Jews get all upset. They stir everybody up, run them out of town. And so they go to the next city. Let me give you some applications and we'll be through. The first one is this. Let's clearly proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel. Let me show you this. Here's what we want. You need to know the message. The message is that Jesus Christ died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again. That's called the gospel. It's called the good news. The message is Jesus died and rose again. The response is to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. The message is he died and rose again. The response is to believe in him. The result is eternal life, forgiveness, and righteousness. So let's clearly proclaim the message, telling people that Jesus died and rose again, paying for sin, conquering death, and that they need to believe in him for eternal life. And when they believe in him, they have eternal life and forgiveness and salvation. Second, realize there's going to be opposition to the gospel message. There's going to be opposition because there's a message of works out there. Anytime you give the grace message, there's going to be opposition. There's going to be people who'll say it's more than faith. Look at this right here. The message of salvation is the opposite message of the world. Where did you ever hear that if you do good, you can go to heaven? That's the message of the world, isn't it? Try to do good. That's nowhere in the scripture. It didn't come from the scripture. You can't go to the Bible and find what it says. If you will do good, God will save you. In fact, it says the opposite. It says the righteousness of man's filthy rags, and you're not justified by your works or your goodness. You're justified by faith. So the message of grace and faith is the opposite of what you will hear in the world. So realize there's going to be opposition when you take the message into this community. And then finally, understand God's plan concerning Israel and the church. God has not cast away his people. Just because we're going to see the Jewish people as a whole rejecting Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean God is through with the nation of Israel. He is setting them aside. He is using the church, the body of Christ. It's our responsibility to proclaim the message. In the book of Romans, he says it's a partial hardening of Israel. And after we're gone and it gets into the tribulation, Israel will turn to God and they will believe in him as a people. So let's clearly proclaim the grace message, expecting opposition as we make known salvation, forgiveness, and righteousness, and eternal life simply by faith. Let's pray.